The pandemic could destroy millions of jobs, and vulnerable low-wage workers stand to lose the most.
They're in the industries that are most likely to have layoffs and cutbacks, so that's going to be a challenge for them.
The coronavirus has brought major sports to a standstill. Now the Olympics could be postponed. It's Monday, March 23rd. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. A Republican stimulus plan to blunt the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic is on hold. Senate Democrats halted it in a procedural vote. They say the bill tilts too far in favor of corporations and doesn't do enough for people facing layoffs and lost income. The parties blamed each other but still hope to reach an agreement. The virus is hitting home for more politicians. Republican Senator Rand Paul is the first senator to announce that he tested positive, and German Chancellor Angela Merkel is now in self-isolation at home, awaiting her own test result. She made the move after a doctor who treated her later tested positive. Global coronavirus cases doubled over the weekend. There are now more than 340,000 confirmed cases. The increase reflects both the spread of the virus and growth in testing around the world. Governments across the U.S. are releasing thousands of prisoners to free up space for potential isolation of inmates with the coronavirus. Corrections officials say they're doing this by focusing on lower-level, nonviolent felons, lowering bonds, and speeding up plea deals. The International Olympic Committee says it's considering postponing the Summer Games in Tokyo, currently set for July 24th. This after pressure from athletes, sports federations, and public health officials. After the IOC said it was considering a delay, Canada and Australia both said they would not send athletes to the Games if held this summer. Matt Carroll is CEO of the Australian Olympic Committee.
The athletes desperately want to go to the Games, desperately want to represent their country at the Olympics. They also take on board their own personal health, but also the health and well-being of their fellow athletes around the world.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also acknowledged the Games could be postponed, but said that canceling the Olympics altogether is, quote, out of the question. Cancellations have only happened during wartime, including the Tokyo Olympics in 1940. Traders are ready for another challenging day on Wall Street, with the roadblock in the Senate for the stimulus bill front of mind. Markets editor Quentin Webb takes a look at how investors are looking at the somewhat slow progress of a rescue package.
That has this kind of uncomfortable echo of 2008, when, as the global financial crisis unfolded, there was a bit of a delay in the US kind of political response to that. And there is a sense that, you know, every day or every week that's wasted is one in which the kind of economic costs will pile up further as companies are forced to make tough decisions about whether they kind of close their doors or just lay off more staff. And that is part of the reason why we've seen, you know, a sort of dip in US stock futures, a dip in some Asian stock markets, a fall in oil, and a rally in US Treasury bonds.
Economic forecasters are revising predictions as new information comes in on the pandemic. Our latest survey of top economists shows a recession all but certain and expectations of millions of jobs lost. Here's Quentin on the latest thinking.
We're staring really at enormous kind of unprecedented sudden stop in economic activity in the US, and the figures that are now kind of circulating for how much this will affect growth are really striking. So of economists polled by the Wall Street Journal, you know, the kind of base case is for gross domestic product in the second quarter to contract by 7% on a real basis annualized. And, you know, for the unemployment rate maybe to spike to 5.3% in the second quarter of this year. It's hard to sort of reach for the appropriate economic comparison here, because we haven't seen something like this for a very long time. You know, in some sense, we're almost on a kind of wartime footing. In another sense, you know, it's a bit like we're kind of confronting a very steep recession like you see in the depths of a financial crisis. So the speed with which the US economy is shrinking is something that we haven't seen for very many years.
Job cuts in the coming days are expected to hit low-wage workers especially hard. We'll take a closer look at that impact after a short break. The world's largest hotel company is furloughing thousands of corporate employees. Marriott's moves are just the latest cuts across industries as companies respond to the brutal economic slowdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic. The Journal's labor reporter Eric Morath talks with Charlie Turner about the workers who are the most vulnerable.
Eric, over the past month or so, the labor market has turned upside down because of the coronavirus pandemic. Talk about which workers are being most affected by the coronavirus crisis.
The workers most affected, I think, are the low-wage workers that are in kind of that face-to-face service industry. Certainly, restaurants are being hard hit, and they're a huge employer. About 13% of American workers work at restaurants and hotels and other hospitality sites. So it's a massive part of the labor force, and, you know, they're in jobs where they have to meet people face-to-face. There's not really an option to work from home, and if they're meeting people face-to-face, they're at risk. And then they're in the industries that are most likely to have layoffs and cutbacks, so that's going to be a challenge for them. And then, if they do lose their jobs, you know, they're going to be, you know, scrambling for options, but of course, there's not going to be another restaurant necessarily or hotel necessarily hiring right away at this time.
Eric, talk about some of the layoff numbers that we've seen lately, some of the jobless claims. They're looking pretty grim, and apparently they're going to get a lot worse.
Hold on to your hats. We saw the jobless claims increase by 70,000. It was the biggest increase in a week since Hurricane Harvey caused a spike in claims a few years ago. Economists are expecting the highest level of jobless claims on record. And it's not even really close. The highest level we had was just under 700,000 in 1982. They're expecting well more than 800,000 claims. And some economists are saying actually it could be closer to 2 million, which would just be astronomical job loss in a single week.
Can the virus relief bill passed by Congress help these workers? What sort of relief does it provide?
Yeah, so it's aimed to do that. The main vehicle would be through this unemployment insurance. And generally, folks are eligible for that if they've been laid off from an employer, if they've been laid off from a payroll job. And some of the stipulations in this bill would ask states to loosen requirements. For example, often there's a one-week waiting period, or there's a requirement that you look for a job while you're on unemployment, which makes sense in most times. But if you're sick, you're caring for a loved one, your children are home from school, all those are reasons you might not have time to go look for a job. Plus, who wants to interview you at this point, right? So they're saying, we'll waive these requirements and get money into people's hands. But remember, unemployment claims don't replace all of your income. You know, it's roughly half for most jobs. It's based on a formula. And then there's a cap. So the higher earners don't receive close to half. And then, you know, there's also questions about people like the caterer we spoke to. I mean, he's a self-employed person. So there's a question if he's eligible because he didn't work for an employer that paid into the insurance fund.
Eric, what about some sectors that are hiring? I mean, I understand that they could be risky for workers that take them on because they involve close contact with other people, like hospitals.
In the story, my colleague Rachel spoke to a woman who lost her job at a restaurant in Seattle, and that's what she actually found, was that she did get another job. She's doing material handling at a hospital in Seattle, so she was able to find another job. It doesn't pay as much as her job when you consider tips did, because it's pretty close to a minimum wage type job. We've also heard places like Costco and Amazon warehouses are hiring. Domino's is hiring pizza delivery. So not to replace 2 million people, but there are jobs out there. But the question is then sort of, is the worker willing to take the risk? Are you willing to go to a warehouse where hundreds of other people work each day? Are you willing to go to Costco, where I saw people yesterday at Costco lining up outside to get in? You're putting yourself at a higher degree of risk than if you, you know, stay home and social distance.
Eric Morath of the Wall Street Journal, thanks a lot.
Sure. Happy to join you as always.
Tech giant SoftBank says it plans to sell up to $41 billion of its assets to buy back shares and pay off debt. It's an unprecedented move made as its stock and bond prices have tumbled recently. And finally, more than a dozen supercomputers are joining the fight to find vaccines and drugs that could have an impact on the coronavirus pandemic. High-powered machines from the U.S. government and companies including IBM, Google, Amazon, and Microsoft are now up for grabs for disease researchers around the world. The initiative, dubbed the COVID-19 2019 High Performance Computing Consortium was announced by the White House Office of Science and Technology. Some questions researchers face, such as predicting drug effects, take too long to answer with standard computers. These supercomputers can better handle the complex math that helps researchers simulate molecules and tap into artificial intelligence. And that is What's News for this morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and you can visit WSJ.com throughout the day for full coverage of the pandemic and other stories. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for listening.